Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, remember to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. Also, you can send email messages to the show at GoForAgan. That's at GoForAgan, where you can send email messages and messages to the show in general. While you're at GoForAgan on Twitter.com, make sure you follow me there. Please follow me at GoForAgan. Expected to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler, the one, the only, the great Willie Rofe, and we're going to talk all things NFL as it's a big NFL weekend. Big week 17. A lot of big games. A lot of big things going on in the NFL week 17. So make sure we're going to definitely talk about that and make sure you stick around to hear me talk about that. And also we're going to be joined by actress Twink Kaplan. Twink is actually going to be in a Will Ferrell movie, a big-time Will Ferrell movie that's going to be airing in March of 2012, and that's Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie. And so we're going to talk to her. She was Miss Geis off Clueless many years ago, and she made a lot of money off of that, and that was kind of her claim to fame, if you will. So we're going to be joined by Twink Kaplan and also the great Willie Rofe. And I want to start in the NFL, the National Football League, and it's a big week in the NFL, big-time football. A lot of things are up for grabs right now in the National Football League. A lot of things are a little unsettled. And those things being unsettled, who's going to win the NFC East? Who's going to win the AFC West? Who's going to win these things? I mean, these are the type of things right now that's going unsettled in the storylines. Especially Denver, Kansas City, Kyle Orton going back to Denver has the opportunity to knock off Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. That fan base in Denver hated Kyle Orton. That fan base in Denver did not want Kyle Orton there in Denver. They booed him every time and every chance they could get. They booed the guy, and they didn't want him there. They did not want him there. They did not want him there. And the reality is, they ran him out of town. That and him being 1-4 as a starter and him not really playing the best of football. But the fan base has something to do with Kyle Orton being released and ultimately Kyle Orton going to the Kansas City Chiefs. They had that fan base had a lot to do with Kyle Orton going to the Chiefs. And that's the reality there. That fan base has so much to do with Kyle Orton going to Kansas City. And he's in Kansas City right now. He is in Kansas City. And the reality is this. He has an opportunity to shut up a lot of people. Mainly that fan base in Denver. They were awful to Kyle Orton. They were awful to the guy. And the reality is, they were unfair. And I think that's the bottom line. They were truly unfair to Kyle Orton in this situation. He was a guy that, I mean, let's be honest here. Kyle Orton did not play good football. And that needs to be said as well. He did not play good football. He didn't. And I don't think anybody can truly argue with that. He did not play good football. He didn't. And ultimately it cost him his job. and rightfully so. I mean, if you're the Denver Broncos, the reality is at the time that you made the decision to go to Tim Tebow, you really didn't have a choice at that point. Kyle Orton was not playing good football. Your team was 1-4, and you were basically going nowhere. You were going to St. Elsewhere, if you will. You weren't going anywhere. You had no opportunity whatsoever to go anywhere. And that's just the real. And that's the reality of that. You had no opportunity to go anywhere. And you had no choice but to go to Tim Tebow in that particular situation. And they did. They made the decision to go to Tebow. And the rest is history. Tim Tebow has reeled off 7 wins and has put the Denver Broncos in position to win the AFC West. They win the game, they win the division. They win the game, they win the division. That's the bottom line. Win the game, win the division. And so it's that simple. It's point blank. Win game, win the division. And it's going to be a good game. And it's going to be a lot of theater there. I mean, the thing is, Tim Tebow, the guy that you replaced Kyle Orton, the guy that the fans hated, the guy that they wanted Tebow to replace, is coming back with the Kansas City Chiefs to possibly get some revenge. He wants revenge, and and I haven't heard any sound from the guy this week, but I can assume that he's saying, oh, this is just in a regular game, just in the same old game, you know, we got to win just like any other game. This is no different than last week's game and so on and so forth. No, 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 no. Don't downplay it, Kyle. This is big. This is big. You have an opportunity now to shut up the Broncos fans. You have an opportunity to tell the Broncos fans to shut up. Take that. Shut up. You have that opportunity. Will he do it? Will Kyle Orton and the Kansas City Chiefs? And you know that his teammates want it badly for him. And I think you're going to get a big-time effort out of the Chiefs. I think you're really going to get a big-time effort out of the Chiefs. They're playing very well for Romeo Crennel. They beat the Green Bay Packers, who were undefeated at the time, 13-0 Green Bay Packers. And then they play the Raiders. They go to overtime. They lost in overtime, but they played the Raiders tough and had a big-time opportunity to win that football game. They had an opportunity to win the football game. They didn't win, obviously, but the opportunity was there. But they're playing good football for Romeo Crennel. They're playing some great football for the guy right now. And they have an opportunity to win this football game, especially the way Tim Tebow has been playing of late. You know Tim Tebow, whose birthday was the other day on Christmas. I mean, the way guys are talking about it, you think the man is Jesus after all. But, I mean, you look at Tim Tebow, he's not playing good football right now. A bad performance last week against the Buffalo Bills. 3 interceptions as that one interception by the Bills lineman was ultimately turned into a fumble. But 3 interceptions in that game, 1 touchdown, not very impressive. He just didn't look good. Throwing the football around, it was interceptions left and right. He didn't play good football. He did not play good football in that particular ball game. He didn't play good football. He stunk the joint up, actually. And then that's coming off a performance against the Patriots where he wasn't really that great as well. This should be an interesting ball game. It should be interesting to see what happens here. Just as much as Kyle Orton wants this football game, I think you can also say Tim Tebow wants this football game too. So this means a lot to him as well. But I think Kyle Orton's going to be ultra motivated here. I think Kyle Orton is going to do whatever he can to get this victory against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I may have to say I'm rooting for Kyle Orton here. Judging on how the fans treated him, I mean, it was unfair. It was truly unfair. Is Kyle Orton a better quarterback than Tim Tebow? I would think you would have to say yes at this stage of the game. And I'm not one of these guys who's very high on Tim Tebow. I'm not. I question what he is or what he could be as a quarterback in this league. I know he's won 7 games. I know he's won some games in comeback fashion. But I'm just not sold on this guy as a quarterback in the National Football League. And it's hard to get excited over a guy who has a 48% completion percentage. I mean, that's very hard to get excited over. And I'm not getting excited over that. I just can't. It's hard to get excited over a guy who was 2-for-8 against these Kansas City Chiefs a few weeks back. 2-for-8 in a ball game. Unheard of. Ridiculous. It's just hard for me to get excited over that. It's just hard. And one of the things that Tebow has done, and looking at what he has done in wins and what he has done when they lost, when they won, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception for Tebow, and he's close to 50% at 49.7% in terms of completion percentage. But when they lost, he's been awful. 45% completion percentage, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He stunk up the joint when he lost the football, when he loses. And when he wins, he's very effective. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he's close to that 50%. But he's still at 49.7%. Tim Tebow has a long way to go if he wants to be a quarterback in this league, if he wants to be a very good starting quarterback in this league. He's got a long way to go. And John Elway came out a few weeks, I think it was last week, and he believes in this guy. He believes in Tim Tebow. He believes in him. He believes. I just can't believe right now. I'm still not. So, and granted, he's still young. He's still a young quarterback in this league. And when you're young and playing the quarterback position in the National Football League, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. That's just the bottom line, and that's just the reality and the nature of the position. When you're young, you're going to make mistakes. It is what it is. But the way I look at it, I just am not sold on this guy. And I don't think I will be sold. I think if you're John Elway and the Denver Broncos organization, I still think you have to look at the quarterback position. I still think this evaluation is still in play. I still think you can't truly hand over the keys to this franchise to Tim Tebow. I don't think you truly can do it at this point. I don't think you can. And the Denver Broncos are really not a good football team to begin with. And you do have to give Tebow a lot of credit for what he has done. But I also have to give more credit to defense and more credit to special teams, because the reality is they are the real reason that the Denver Broncos are 8-7, that the Denver Broncos have an opportunity here. They are the reason that the Denver Broncos have an opportunity here, an opportunity to ultimately win the AFC West. And I think if you would have told somebody that weeks back when this team was 1-4, they would say you were lying, and they would probably throw you out their house if you were in their house at the time. But, I mean, the reality is it's improbable. It's improbable how the Denver Broncos have essentially came out of nowhere. They came out of nowhere. They were left for dead while Kyle Orton was the starting quarterback. They were left for dead. But the reality is, when Tim Tebow stepped on the scene, for whatever reason, defense started playing better. For whatever reason, he's just started, his magic was, it's just, it went to the defense, it went to the run game, it went everywhere. Everybody picked up their play. And ultimately, the Denver Broncos are in this position because of their defense, first, and secondly, because of the late game heroics of Tim Tebow. Well, not, I wouldn't say secondly. Secondly, because of the running game of Willis McGahee and Lance Ball, And thirdly, because of the miraculous comebacks and the big-time drives down the stretch by Tim Tebow late in ball games. If the Broncos are close, look out, because Tim Tebow is there on the scene. And he has proven that if there's final drive time and they have an opportunity to win, be scared, be afraid, be very afraid. Also a big football game at MetLife Stadium. The Giants and Cowboys, winner take all, NFC East battle. There's nothing like NFC East football, especially with what's on the line this week. There is a lot on the line this week. It's winner take all, MetLife Stadium, Cowboys, Giants. It's for the NFC East. And last time these two teams played each other, it was a shootout. Both defenses gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards. And I'm really, at this stage of the game, not big on both of these football teams. The best team in the NFC East is the team that won't be making the playoffs, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. They are the best team in the NFC East, and I think they've proven it throughout these past few weeks. They are the most talented team. They are the best team in the NFC East. Unfortunately, when you turn the ball over the way they did early on, when your defense gives up big leads in the fourth quarter the way they did early on, you're in the position they are in, and that's 7-8, and essentially playing out the string against the Washington Redskins. But let's go back to this football game here. A big football game. Tony Romo, the bruised hand. We'll see how that is. But you get the sense now the Cowboys did not sign any other quarterback, so you get the sense that he's okay and he's able to go and he will be fine in this football game. So we'll see what happens there. But last time these two teams played, it was a shootout. The Cowboys went up and down the field and had a 36-22 lead late in that football game. And they took it over. And then from there, the Giants took it over. The Giants took it over. They took that football game over. And the Cowboys, you give the Giants a lot of credit in that game. Manning went up and down the field there, down the stretch. It was actually 34-23 at the time. And then they came back. They stormed back, the Giants, and two big touchdowns. And the Giants ultimately took the lead and ultimately won the football game. But the Cowboys had numerous opportunities to win that football game. There is no way that the Dallas Cowboys should have lost that game. No way the Cowboys should have lost that game. No way. You're up 34-22 late in that game. You're up and in complete control, 34-23, excuse me. You're up and in complete control in that game. That was your game. And then your defense gives up two touchdowns down the stretch there. And then, even before that, Tony Romo misses a pass to Miles Austin, who was wide open. Wide open, you missed the pass. And then after that, you had an opportunity to tie the game, but the field goal was blocked by Jason Pierre-Paul, and ultimately the New York Giants won the game. So we'll see what happens. And I said 34-23. I was right the first time. It was 34-22. But you look at it. We'll see what happens here. But who's going to come up big here? Does Eli come up big again? And Eli's had a great year, Pro Bowl year, a big-time year for Eli Manning. He's played well. He's played like an elite quarterback or close to it. He said he was an elite quarterback in the offseason, and he's playing close to that. It's kind of hard to argue with Eli Manning now. But this Giants team against the Jets, they did what they had to do, but Manning wasn't great. Made some big plays there. They ran the ball pretty well in that game, and they shut down Mark Sanchez. But judging by the way he's been playing, that's not really hard to do. But, I'm not really too high on any of these teams at this point in the year. They're not playing the greatest of football. I think the Cowboys are actually playing better football than the Giants. And you look at the Cowboys, they're not playing awful football, but I don't think they're playing very good football. But you look at it, this really shouldn't come down to this ball game because of what has happened with this team. The Arizona game where they gave it up down the stretch there, gave that football game away, iced their own kicker. Even the Giants game, they shouldn't have lost that either. This game really shouldn't mean anything. Truly, the Cowboys should be playing out the string right now. They truly should be preparing for the playoffs at this point. Because they pretty much have given up games. I mean, they've given up games throughout the course of the season. The Cowboys and the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, so remind me of each other. The way they have given up games throughout the course of this season. The Cowboys gave up games earlier in the season to the Jets, gave up a game to the Detroit Lions, gave up a game to the Arizona Cardinals, the Eagles. 5 blown fourth quarter leads. That's all you need to know there. Giving away leads. Both of these teams, the Eagles and the Cowboys, have given away leads. Just given leads to teams. Just here, take it. Take it. I mean, that's what these teams have done. Take it. You want it? We'll give it to you. Take it. Both of these teams have done that throughout the course of this year. But fortunately for the Cowboys and unfortunately for the Eagles, the Cowboys have found a way to get to this point and put themselves in position to ultimately win the NFC East. Who do I like in this football game? I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. I think they're playing better football right now. I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think they can score a lot of points against the Giants defense. And I think Tony Romo has some things to prove. It's a big football game. Traditionally, he's not played well in December. But I think it will change this time around. And I look for the Dallas Cowboys to win this football game Sunday night, and ultimately the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East. It's going to be a good game there. That's going to be some good football there. It's a Sunday night game. It was flexed. It was originally a 1 o'clock game, but it's been flexed to Sunday night football. So it's in prime time, winner take all. And you can't ask for much, much more. Winner take all. Last week of the season, it's gonna be a lot of theater. It's going to be a lot of drama. And ultimately, who will win this game? And I like the Dallas Cowboys. I really think they're playing better football right now. And I think Romo has some things to prove here. And so I expect him to try to prove those things. Felix Jones, he was a little banged up against the Eagles, but he didn't play one series. But after they found out that the Giants had won, that game became irrelevant, so they took him out. So essentially he gets another week to kind of rest up and get himself right for this football game. And we'll see. He had some Felix Jones had some hamstring issues. And you remember many years ago back in, I believe it was 1994, where these two teams met up at the Meadowlands, winner-take-all type of situation. And in that football game, you had Emmitt Smith, and Emmitt Smith fell on his shoulder, hurt his shoulder real bad, but gutted it out. Emmitt Smith was tough in that football game. He gutted it out, and ultimately the Cowboys won that particular football game, and ultimately the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. You never know. If they lost that game, they may not have won the Super Bowl there. But it was big. It was big. And the Cowboys ended up getting the top seed in that game. They got the top seed in that game. Big game there. Big, big, big game. They ultimately won that football game. And ultimately, it was enough for them to get to the Super Bowl. because it helped them get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and that's big as well. That's very big, and ultimately the Cowboys would win a Super Bowl, their second Super Bowl, their second straight Super Bowl at the time. So it's winner take all. It is winner take all. Who gets it done? Who wins? We shall see. But I like the Cowboys here. I like Romo and the Cowboys. I expect Romo to have a big ball game here. And ultimately, I expect Rob Ryan, the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, I expect him to come up with something to kind of help this Cowboys defense because they're struggling too. They are struggling. They are really struggling. And the reality is you could score a lot of points against both of these teams. You could score a lot of points against these teams. These teams give up points. They give up points. They give up points. They give up points. So you have an opportunity to score a lot of points against these two teams. Points will be scored here. Points will be scored here. These teams will put up some points. I think the Cowboys' defense plays a little better. And I think because of that, the Dallas Cowboys get it done. Expect a big game out of Tony Romo. A lot to prove. So expect a big game out of Romo. I expect him to play very well in this game. And I expect both quarterbacks to play well in this game. But I think the Cowboys will get it done. And I heard some say that if the Giants lose, maybe Coughlin loses his job. And if the Cowboys lose, maybe Jason Garrett loses his job. That's the talk you're hearing right now. You're hearing some of that right now. I don't know if that's the case. Truly don't know if that's the case or not. But I do think that Tom Coughlin, who's over the years his teams have struggled down the stretch and struggled in the month of December. Giants have traditionally, in the Coughlin era, have gotten off to great starts, but have faded down the stretch. Gotten off to great starts, but faded down the stretch. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if they do the same here today. Not today, but on Sunday. We'll see if that happens. Well, we'll see if the Giants fade down the stretch there. Continue to fade. I mean, they got off to a great start, the Giants. 6-2, and then they struggled from there. 6-2, and seemingly in good shape in the NFC East. But the reality is, as bad as they played down the stretch here, the New York Giants, if they win on Sunday, whatever has happened these past few weeks don't even matter. It does not mean a thing if they win on Sunday. But I don't think they will. I don't think they will. I think the Dallas Cowboys get it done here. And also you have to take this into account. I mean, it's hard to beat any team twice in 1 year. But you also have to look at this. It's been such a short window here. I mean, they played a couple weeks ago, and now they're playing again. And so the reality is, with that being said, it's so difficult to beat somebody twice. But it's also, I think, difficult to beat a team in this short span. I mean, it's such a short span here. It's a short span here. It's not like they played in like week 3 or week 5. No, they played December 11th. I mean, that's the last time they played, and this is not even a month. They're playing again. So the reality is it's such a short time frame here. So I think that benefits the Cowboys. I think that benefits the Cowboys. I mean, these guys just played. They basically have just played. So this will benefit the Dallas Cowboys. They played week 14. And like I said, it's so hard to beat any team twice in 1 year. But I think it's even more difficult when you just played that team 3 weeks ago. So I think that benefits the Cowboys. I mean, the last time these two teams played was 3 weeks ago. Advantage Dallas. Advantage Dallas there. That definitely benefits the Dallas Cowboys. That benefits the Dallas Cowboys. So that's another reason I believe that the Cowboys get it done on Sunday. They will get it done on Sunday. Winner take all, NFC East battle. It's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be similar to what we saw, very similar to what we saw a few weeks back in Dallas when these two teams played. But ultimately, I like the Dallas Cowboys to get it done. Let's bring in now 11-time Pro Bowler, the one, the only, Willie Rofe. Willie, how are you, sir?
Doing good. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I just got to watch the Heat play. Charlotte played real good tonight. The Heat pulled it out with Dwayne Wade going to the cup, winning the game. He hit a shot with 2.2 seconds left, and got iced it. But the big comeback was a 15-point lead by the Bobcats at halftime, and the Heat came back and won it. But, you know, they're on the back-to-back tonight. So it was a good game.
And I look at the NBA right now, and I look at the Miami Heat, and they are a very talented ball club, and I think they're the best team in basketball right now. And I think it's their year. I really do.
Well, I think they have the most talent, and they should be. But the only problem I see, like last night when Boston went to that zone defense, it slowed them down. They're a great basketball team, but they still have problems with executing plays in a half court set, and that's what hurt them last year in the playoffs.
Very, very much so, especially like you said, the Mavericks switched the zone in that playoff in the finals, and then you see the Celtics, they switched the zone last night, and they were very effective, and it was one of the reasons they got back into that ball game. But I mean, in terms of talent, like we were saying, like you said, in terms of talent, there is not a team more talented than the Miami Heat. I like to see what the Knicks. Like to see how the Knicks match up with them. I really like what the Knicks did with that front line.
I don't think the Knicks don't have enough guard play, and it's going to be hard for the Knicks to play with them with all those plays. I don't think the Knicks match up as well with them as I think Chicago will match up with them. If Richard Hamilton still has something left in the tank and can shoot and help Derrick Rose, then that'll help a lot. But I just don't think the Knicks are there yet. I just don't see them. They don't have enough pieces yet. Unless Ben Davis, comes back and plays out of his mind. So,
and that was my next point. If Baron Davis is Baron Davis, they definitely have a shot. And I think that front line could give the Heat some trouble. They have a very, athletic front line. And they got a guy in Tyson Chandler who does the dirty work, something they need. And they got the Amari and Carmelo Anthony. But I agree. It comes down to guard play. And as a player,
I just don't like the philosophy with the offense as far as what they do defensively. I mean, Mike D'Antoni score, but you got to play defense. And I just think the Heat are a very sound defensive team, and they were last year. Dwayne Wade hurt his foot some day, and he played through it. But, the Heat just have to stay healthy, and I think they're gonna have the best shot, you know, to win it. But I think anybody that matches up with Oklahoma Thunder, if the Oklahoma gets to the finals, are gonna have some problems with that athleticism and that youth that they have, and they got some guys that can bang too. So it's gonna be tough for any of them to beat Oklahoma if they make it to the finals.
And we shall see as this NBA season unfolds, but it is exciting to have the NBA back. And Willie, let's go to the NFL now. Big game in Denver. You got the Broncos and Chiefs. And the man that the Broncos released, the man that the Broncos fans got all over, Kyle Orton, has an opportunity to get revenge on these Broncos and an opportunity to get revenge on these fans. But can he do it, and will he do it on Sunday, Willie?
I think if he's got a good chance. I say the Chiefs have a good chance. But you know Denver's going to want to play well because Tebow struggled last week. So I think it's going to be a real good football game. And I think ultimately I'm looking at the Chiefs to come and win this last game and beat the Broncos.
And I agree with you. I really do. And I think with Kyle Orton, I think he has a lot to prove here. I think he has an opportunity to get back at the Broncos fans and at the team on some level. And I think his teammates really want it for him. And I also believe that this team really wants to play hard for Romeo Crennel. And they played hard for Romeo Crennel to this point. So I agree with you. I think the Chiefs win this game. And Tebow has really struggled in these past couple weeks, struggled big time against the Buffalo Bills. And I still am not sold on that. I'm still not sold on that.
And Buffalo, and to his credit, Buffalo has very good cornerbacks. They jump routes. They make plays. They gave Tom Brady fits earlier this year. So I think Buffalo has some pieces up there that they can build on because I think their corners can play real good football. I think they need to get tougher up front and make it the linebackers. But I think that secondary, they're a scrappy bunch and they play hard. So, like you said, but I think Buffalo has a chance to get better. And we'll see what happens to them. But I like the Chiefs, and I don't know y'all were talking about the Cowboys. I would like to see Romo win this game. I know he's got a hurt hand, and it just adds more to the drama and soap opera of what's going to happen this week. But I would like to see the Cowboys go ahead and get that monkey out their back, and I would like to see Romo get them to the playoffs.
And I think Romo and the Cowboys will win that game. I think, and I look at these two teams, both of these teams are really not playing the best football at this point, but I think the Cowboys are playing a little better football, and I think also what benefits the Cowboys, and I said this a few minutes ago, what benefits the Cowboys is these two teams played in week 14. That's only 3 weeks ago. So it's very hard to beat a team twice in 1 year, but it's very even harder to beat them in such a short time frame.
It is going to be tough, but I think the Cowboys, the Giants have the advantage if they can run the ball because right now the Cowboys are hurting at the running back position. So the Giants will have to pound the ball, and I think the Cowboys are going to have to rely more on passing the ball and with one more third hand and then moving around. So I think it's going to be a little tough for the Cowboys. I think Felix is healthy, but I as far as the running back position, it's going to be a little tough on them to get it done with Sammy Morris is going to have to carry some of that workload for him too. The
Patriot. We're talking to 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rofe. And Willie, the Giants, they beat the Jets last week, but the Jets quarterback situation, Mark Sanchez, was not great and has not been. He's been average throughout the course of the season. It's been 3 years now. Granted, you got the two AFC championship appearances, but is it time for the Jets to look elsewhere, possibly even look at a Peyton Manning?
I think you got to start talking about that. Sanchez has had time to develop, and I don't know what it is. I mean, you would think after this, at this time period, he'd be progressing and playing better. I mean, he plays good at times, and then sometimes he doesn't play good. So I don't think he's hurt. I don't think anything's wrong with him. So I think it is time for them to look at bringing somebody in there with some experience that can help take that team to the next level. Maybe you let Sanchez back him up and let him sit there for a couple more years and learn, but it's time to bring some veteran quarterback in there.
And also, in terms of looking at Sanchez, when he came out of college, his own college coach, Pete Carroll, said he wasn't ready. And he kind of stepped on the scene, and ultimately I think, you know, a lot of people got excited about the two AFC championship appearances his first 2 years, and that's impressive. And don't get me wrong, that's impressive, and that bodes very well for him. But the thing is, he hasn't progressed, and I think you can say actually he's regressed this season.
It looks like he has regressed, and he has plenty of weapons around him. I mean, he's got some receivers around him. The running back, they got a Damian running the ball, and the other guy, you know, running the ball, man. So, and he's got the tight end. So I just think, he's the quarterback. He's got to not turn the ball over, and he's got to make plays. I don't know if they're trying to spread the field. I haven't been watching them closely, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, the offense is very stagnant, you know, and they have to, for him to be good, they got to take shots and open the ball up down the field. And, you know, I just don't know what's been going on with them this year, but they haven't looked, you know, as sharp as they have looked the last couple of years. And like you said, he has not been playing better this year. It looks like he has gotten worse.
And the reality is this team needs a lot of help in order to get to the playoffs. So it looks like the Jets will not make the playoffs this season, and they're going to need help, and I don't think they get the help, and I think ultimately the Jets do not make the playoffs. And speaking of the Jets, the whole Rex Ryan thing, all the talking that he does, is that getting old as well?
I think it's time for him just to be a coach and let his players, you know, do what they got to do on the field. I mean, it's usually players that are doing all the talking, and, you know, other players don't like it, and the coach is telling the players to be quiet. You know, he's done this for a few years. It's time for him just to be a coach. Let his players go out there and take care of their business and play hard in the games. And, you know, that's what every other coach in the league does. They don't get out there and talk, because when you talk like that, you're going to put pressure ultimately on your team to go and perform. So just let them go out there and play hard and do what they got to do, and you just coach the team to get them ready to play every week.
And how much does that talking help the other team? Like, if you heard a guy chirping, does that motivate you more?
I mean, obviously it's going to motivate you to make you want to get after them some more to a certain point, but you also got to get out there and play the game. But, I mean, it's just the head coach needs to – obviously you got to have your team ready to play, and the team hasn't been ready to play consistently this year, so the talking shouldn't be going on anyway. So, you know, right. We need to worry about playing football, having your team prepared in every facet to go out there and play the game and finish games, and the Jets haven't been doing that this year.
And Willie, your Saints team, Drew Brees, the guy broke Dan Marino's single season record for passing yards. In your mind, what's more impressive, Marino's when he got the record or Brees getting a record this year? The rules are obviously a little different. The quarterback's a little protected a little more this time around. And, you know, a lot of people say it's like arena football out there sometimes.
Yeah, it's definitely Marino's. Marino had one less game to do it in. Obviously, the rules were different. And like you said, some of these, like that game looked like an arena football game, and the game against the Giants when they just threw the ball all over the field looked like they weren't covering them. I understand that Sean Payton is running a very good complex and a good system to spread the field, but with the rules and with the league the way it was, it's still Dan Marino's record is more impressive because of the day and time. And we got two more quarterbacks that might break 5,000, right? We got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers that are right there could break the record too. So you're looking at three quarterbacks that had a chance to break the record in 1 year. So, I mean, when you have that going on, that tells you it's the times, and Dan Marino's record is more impressive.
And the record has been around for 27 years. Do you think that this record lasts for 27 years?
Do I think it lasted long? No. I think it gets broken in the next 2 or 3 years, and I look for Cam Newton, once he gets rolling, to break the record in the next 10 years.
Right. Hey, I agree with you. It's kind of like the touchdown record there with Tom Brady. I mean, you had Manning break the record, and then the following year you had Tom Brady surpass it. So I agree with you. I don't think this is a record that will last 27 years. It could even get broken next year. So, I mean,
yeah,
I agree. It's not going to last very long. And
it's impressive for a quarterback to be that accurate.
It definitely is. Definitely is. Is Drew Brees the best quarterback in football?
with Drew Brees. I got Drew Brees. I got Aaron Rodgers 1A. I got Drew Brees 1B. They're very close. They're both very accurate. They both move around the pocket well. If you hit them, you get them out of rhythm. Aaron Rodgers, I give him the advantage because I think Aaron Rodgers plays a little more consistently when he's not at home. Drew Brees is the best quarterback playing on his home field. But if you want to say on the field, on road games, I give advantage to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. And I think at this point Aaron Rodgers still is the best. But like you said, Drew Brees is right there, and you can even make an argument that he's better. And looking at those two teams, the Saints and the Green Bay Packers, obviously the NFC is going to go through Green Bay. So you're going to have to win in Lambeau if you want to make it to the Super Bowl. But are the Saints better than the Packers at this stage of the game?
I'll give you that. I'll answer that when I give you my list. I will say the Saints are playing at a higher level, and I like the Saints' defense better than I like the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Ultimately, you got to put pressure on the quarterback, and I think the Saints will blitz and do different schemes to get to the quarterback better than Green Bay gives to the quarterback.
Okay. And let's go to that list. Let's get your top five for this week.
Top five, number one, New Orleans.
The only question mark I got
about New Orleans is the way they play on the road. New Orleans got beat by Tampa Bay. Late Breeze didn't complete the pass to win that game, and they got beat handily by St. Louis this year. But I got New Orleans because of the way they're playing and the way their defense has stepped up the last couple weeks. I got New Orleans number one. I got Green Bay number two. They can give up points too. Both teams are giving up a lot of points. I think Green Bay's defense is ranked in the 30-something in one of the categories, isn't it? I got New England
31st against the pass.
31st against the pass, exactly. I got New England number three. I think they've been playing better lately, and I think their defense has picked it up in the last 3 weeks, and they've been playing better lately. And also, Cinco should get more involved going into the playoffs. I got the 49ers number four. So you got three teams for the NFC, and I have Pittsburgh number five.
Okay. All right. No arguments there, and I actually agree with you with the Saints. And I was going to say the same thing, and seeing what your list was going to be, but I agree with you with the Saints. I mean, they're playing some good football right now. They're on a 7-game winning streak, and they're beating teams. They're scoring a lot of points, and like you said, the defense is playing a little better as well. This is a team that can beat the Green Bay Packers.
They can beat the Green Bay Packers. I just worry about the Saints going and playing teams on the road in the playoffs. It's going to be a tough environment. They got to go outside and play on grass. We will see how good they are, because if they had to go up to the 49ers and something like that, it's going to be a dogfight. So,
right.
Brees is going to get hit some, and Tampa Bay beat them, and St. Louis beat them. In the last couple of years, the Super Bowl won, but last year, they got beat in Seattle and let Lynch get loose, the running back Marshawn Lynch get loose on them. But they had games, the Cleveland game and a couple of road games, where they did not play as well on the road. So, I mean, if you're studying them, you know their history. If you get after them on the road, you can't beat them, and it's going to be tough. I think the key factor is Sproles, kick returning, and what he does, opening and spreading that field, and Graham is a matchup nightmare. And if you watch that game, I think that was the game where Tony Gonzalez had to pass the torch to the bigger version of Tony Gonzalez, the 6'6", tall, longer version that's dunking the ball on the goalpost, but he's doing a 360 dunk. And you saw where Tony started years ago with that basketball player playing football, went on to Antonio Gates, and now you see it. I don't put Gronkowski in that category because he's bigger than that Bill, but now you see what that has evolved into. It's evolved into Graham, who is a freak, 6'6", 240, 250, that can run a 4.5 40 and can have the 38-inch vertical. So that is what that progression is involved into, and that's what these NFL teams are going to be looking for, more guys like that in the future.
And like I said, the New Orleans Saints are playing some good football, and they still have a shot to get that second seed. So, I mean, I think if they can get that, they're definite to get to the championship game if they get that second seed. And I think even if they don't, I still think they get the second team, get to the championship game. Excuse me. This is a very good football team, and I agree with you. I think they are the best team in football right now, and are playing the best football. And they're peaking at the right time. They're peaking at the right time, and if the defense can play well, can show up, and just stop you a few times, this team would be in even better shape, even better shape. But I agree, they are the best team in football right now. They are the best team in football.
And the key with that team going forward is how many guys can they keep after this year? You're gonna have Colston up. You got Breeze up. You're gonna have some other receivers. Lance Moore or Henderson are gonna be looking to get paid some money. So they need to go ahead and make a run now because they gotta keep Graham. You're gonna have to pay him eventually in the next year or two. So how many of these guys can they keep in tow? But they're planning to make a run this year. And it'd be great to see them get a chance to get back to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, what happened in 2010 with Ricky Jackson get in. If I get in the hall, that'd be great for New Orleans and for the fans to see a team getting another Super Bowl opportunity and getting a chance to get another one of their players in the Hall of Fame.
And real quick, Willie, now you have the Indianapolis Colts now. They're in a position to essentially continue to suck for Andrew Luck. And I mean, if they lose to Jacksonville, they guarantee themselves the number one pick. But if they win and if the Rams lose, then the Rams would get the number one pick. Do players really pay attention to those type of things?
They pay attention to it, but obviously the Rams, I don't think the Rams would draft for Andrew Luck because they got too much money invested in Bradford. So, either they trade the pick or I don't think they can draft Andrew Luck with the pick because they already have a lot of money, $40, $50 million invested in their own quarterback. So they can't take Luck. So I think they get a chance to get Luck either way. The question mark is going to be, come down to, would you pay a quarterback with a bad neck, can you pay him $28 million next year? I don't know if I can pay a quarterback $28 million that's coming off a bad neck. What if he goes down next year? Who knows how he's going to fare? So I don't know what they do because Peyton Manning has them in the bind because they got to pick up that option in March. And I'm asking you, would you pay Peyton Manning $28 million coming off what he's coming off of next year?
And I think let me go to the Rams for a second there. I know you said they would not take Luck because of Bradford, but I'm looking at the Rams now, and it's looking like their coach will get fired or probably will get fired at the end of the year. So at that point, it's a new regime, and a new coach. Does the new coach now believe in Sam Bradford still, or do they believe that Andrew Luck would be better?
Yeah,
so I don't know if that
– Well, how much more money you got guaranteed on that contract? You got, what is it, Sam Bradford's second year? He's got 3 years
in the
second
year.
I don't care if you got a new regime. You can't draft Bradford and guarantee him that money when you got a quarterback slotted at $10 million per over the next 2 or 3 years. It's guaranteed already.
I think I have to think about it. I really do have to think about it. And I think in terms of the Colts situation, that's a tough call. I mean, Peyton Manning, you don't know what the neck. It's definitely a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the neck. And, I mean, 3 neck surgeries in the last, 19, 20, some odd, last 2 years, essentially.
Well, what would you do? Would you pick up an option to pay him $28
million?
In the situation you're dealing with a bad neck, I don't know if I can do that.
But let's look at this, though. I mean, you take Andrew Luck, right? And just say Andrew Luck is not who we think he is or not who many think he will be. I mean, there's no guarantee with Andrew Luck. There is, if Peyton Manning is 100%, Peyton Manning is still one of the better quarterbacks in this league.
Okay. If Peyton Manning goes down and hits that neck that's fused, what do we know that's not going to happen if that neck gets hurt again? I don't know what they're saying with what it entails in that surgery and everything that goes involved in that. But what I'm saying is, if he gets hit the wrong way or gets hit or falls on that neck, you know, what's going to happen? They're saying it's healing, but if it's still vulnerable. When you start talking about necks, I got a problem with that, and I can't. If I drive Andrew Luck, I can't pay him $28 million. I can't do it. I can't guarantee the man $28 million. I paid $20 million for this year that didn't even play. I can't do it. Now, maybe they can, but I wouldn't do it.
So you're basically saying at this point that the Peyton Manning era in Indianapolis is over if you're the GM and you're in charge of the franchise.
Well, I'm not gonna. If I'm in charge of that franchise, either we got to restructure the contract.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know that he has an option in March. He's got to help me by restructuring, and he got $20 million didn't play this year, but stood on the sideline. So if it's me, he's got to restructure and give me some money back, and got to put some incentives in there. So I have some insurance policy saying, look, if you don't come back right off this neck injury, I'm not going to pay you all this money next year. It's going to be based off his week-to-week plan. I'm just not going to guarantee to pay him $28 million, and I don't know what I'm going to get next year. I can't do it. If nobody's going to trade for him, I can't pick up that option. I can't do it.
Let's look at it, though. The market, I mean, he is still Peyton Manning. The market, I think there is a market. There is a market out there for Peyton Manning, Washington. You can look at the Redskins. You look at the Vikings. You can even make your argument about the Vikings. Denver. I mean, do you really believe in Tebow? I mean, Denver's a team. The New York Jets. There is a market out there for him.
I'm not debating if there's a market for him. I don't care if he goes to any of the teams. I still got to get him to restructure this contract so I know he's coming off this neck injury. I can guarantee him $10 million and put the rest in incentives, but I can't guarantee to pay the man $28 million with a fused neck. If I'm the GM, I can't do it. I can't justify that. Now, I know we got trainers and doctors and experts and all that, but with the neck situation, I'm just all iffy about necks. And if he goes down the wrong way and he's out again, I'm out $28 million. So I need to restructure, because I gave him 20 this year. I gave him 20. So I need to restructure that 28. Maybe guarantee him 10 and put the rest in his incentives. But I can't guarantee him 20 and come off a neck injury. I mean, he's got a lot of money. He can understand that. If he can't understand that, then I don't know. I mean, you know, just like when Tony Bacelli got put in the expansion draft and went to Houston, it made $6.5 million because it was guaranteed from when he left Jacksonville. But the next year when they put it in incentive base, he retired. Because he was guaranteed the money. I can't pay him $28 million with a bad neck. I can't do it.
I mean, it's but there is a market out there for him. So you may not do it, but there may be a team out there that would.
I'm not debating the market. I'm debating paying him $28 million. I can't pay him $28 million. No. Not an extra question. I don't care what team it is. He's going to have to restructure that contract.
I have to see him play, perform to get some of
this money. I have to put some of this in roster bonus. So for every game he starts, maybe he gets another $500,000 or $800,000, whatever. But, you know, I'm not guaranteeing him 20. Like I said, I can guarantee him 10 and put the rest of the incentive on him playing every game and on his performance. But I'm not going to pay him $28 million. I can't do it.
The only thing that you can look at in terms of the Colts' perspective is number one picks, because of the new CBA, are not going to get paid the way they once did. And granted, Andrew Luck is going to get his money, but he's not going to get the same type of money that Sam Bradford got. I mean, Sam Bradford got close to $50 million guaranteed or something.
$20 million guaranteed, 5 years.
Yeah, I saw 4 years, $24 million. It was something that.
I don't care what Andrew Luck gets. I'm not guaranteeing Peyton Manning $28 million.
So how about you do that? I think ultimately, if the Colts did come to him and asked him to restructure, I think he would.
How about this? If there's anybody else other than Peyton Manning, do they get $28 million next year to play? And do they get $20 million this year when he didn't even pass a physical? Technically, the coach could have came and said, we're not going to pay you this 20 because you didn't need to pass a physical. We didn't even give you a physical, and he wouldn't have passed a physical because he had a bad neck. So technically, she shouldn't even have been on the roster this year that he was hurt, if we're going to get technical about it.
Right. I mean, I think you look. You don't want to talk about the market, but the market is there are a bunch of teams out here who could use a Peyton Manning, a healthy Peyton Manning, and
a 36-year-old Peyton Manning that's had a neck injury, that's also had a knee injuries at a reduced price. I agree with you. A 36-year-old Peyton Manning, a lot of teams can use him at a reduced price. If there was anybody else that we're talking about, it would be a reduced price.
I agree. I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised that he does take a restructured deal to stay in Indy because, you know, Peyton Manning spent 14 years in Indianapolis, and, you know, he is the Colts.
And I understand that's their first Super Bowl win. They don't want him to put on another jersey. I can understand all that, too. So they're stuck between the rock and the hard place because, all right, it's Peyton Manning. He won our first Super Bowl ever. This franchise hasn't been very good lately. He turned it around for us, and it's been great for the community. They've been an ambassador to the league. So everything's great with Peyton Manning. But regardless, it's business is business, and I can't guarantee paying him $28 million. I don't care what team it is.
Well, let's look at Peyton Manning a year ago. 4,700 yards passing. 33 touchdowns, only 33 touchdowns to 17 interceptions. A very good year. You figure Peyton Manning is healthy. If he is healthy, you're going to get similar numbers.
If the line is good. No. Let's look at this, too. You have a year older team with Reggie Wayne and those guys getting up in age. You have a line that was not playing that good this year. Remember, Kerry Collins got knocked out early this year, didn't even play anymore. So you have a line that has given us some issues this year with protection. So is Peyton Manning going to be giving that ball as quick as he did last year? Is everything going to run as smoothly as it ran for him in the past? I think the team is rebuilding. Regardless if Peyton Manning is there or not, I don't think this year, me personally, I do not think they make the playoffs, or I don't think they get out the first round of the playoffs. So regardless of if Peyton Manning was on that team or not, I just don't think the football team was that good.
So your point is, I mean, one guy can make a difference. I mean, and not to say Tebow was the reason that the Broncos turned this whole thing around, or not the sole reason, but the moment he did step in the game, the defense seemed to play a little better. Everything around them seemed. Everybody seemed to step up their play. You don't think it would be a similar situation with Peyton Manning and the Colts? Peyton Manning is the Colts. Quarterback, I mean,
Dwight Freeney is a year older. I don't know what Dwight Freeney's stat was, but I don't know if him and Matthews how great to get ahead. I don't think they would put tremendous quarter pressure on everybody's quarterback. They were playing early in the year. I saw them playing pretty good. But I just think the Colts are an older team, and I think they got to get some more youth up front on both sides of the ball. Saturday's been there a long time. You got Freeney and Reggie Wayne getting up there in age, and Dallas Clark's getting up there somewhere in age. So I just think that team's in a transition stage, and they're gonna have some issues regardless of Peyton if they're not. And I don't think that team would have been that much better than 9-7, even if he was there. Houston had a breakout year. They played very good this year. And I think if Peyton's there, if he's there anyway, I still think Houston wins that division. So, you know, because Houston was coming after them last year. So, like I said, I just don't think – I think the team is in the transition stage. And I think regardless if Peyton is there or not, the team's not better than 9-7.
So, judging by what you're saying – let's just say $28 million is not on the table. You would blow it up anyway. You're saying draft Andrew Luck, let's blow this up, and let's hand the keys to the franchise basically to Andrew Luck.
I think regardless of the Peyton Manning and the $28 million, It's time for a change. I think, it was, you know, like you said, one player is not going to make that much of a difference in a team just losing almost every game this year. If they're that good a football team, I'll put it like this. If Peyton Manning wasn't playing on some of them teams that won 14 games and he missed some games, I still think those were a good Indianapolis Colts football team, and I still think those teams win 9 games, you know, teams with 10 games. So I'm saying Peyton Manning he's a great football player, but those teams were better teams that he was playing around with better players on both sides of the ball. I'm saying these players are getting older, and Peyton Manning is going to be 36 years old, so I still think it's time for a transition. And I think if they do bring Peyton Manning back and pay him that money, there's that much pressure on him to play good, and when things start going bad, I think they can go real bad.
It's a tough decision they're going to have to make. For you, it seems like it's an easy decision. But, I mean, if you, let's just say hypothetically, you move Peyton Manning along. Peyton Manning lands with the Jets. He lands with the Jets and returns to the Peyton Manning of old, playing big-time football. Let's say 33 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 4,700 yards passing, the year he had in 2010. Let's just say he has that year in 2012. How do you look as a franchise? And let's say Andrew Luck struggles the first year, which is very possible for a rookie. How do you think it looks then?
I think it looks real bad. But for Peyton Manning, I think it looks good because I think Peyton Manning needs to be around a veteran team with experienced players that he can win with. And I don't see that happening with the core unit that the Colts are going to bring back. I don't see that team being that much better. I see Houston taking over that division, and for the next couple of years going to be able to take over that division with the way it's structured. And I don't see Indianapolis being that good with the players they have. I think they got a lot more issues than Peyton Manning. So if Peyton Manning wants to go back and collect the money and they're going to pay him, that's fine. I still don't see that football team being that much better with him next year, not at this point in his career.
And Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, a few days ago said if he's healthy, he's going to be a Colt. If he's healthy, he's going to be a Colt. And granted,
well, you know whether he's going to be healthy or not. That's the iffy question. You could say the next healing, but how do you really know if he's going to stay healthy with that type of situation? There's too much risk involved with me there to risk paying that much money. That's my point.
Have you ever had a neck injury in your career?
Not like that, no.
Or any type of neck injury.
You hit your neck. If my neck pops, I don't get adjusted. I mean, you know, it pops easy and stuff like that, but not anything where it's just slowing me down. No, and I know guys that have had neck and injuries, and most of the guys that I know have neck injuries like that. They didn't keep playing football. They weren't going through all these procedures trying to come back. They had to retire.
Right. Right. Does Peyton Manning play again?
Yes, he plays. He plays. How long does he play and how productive is he is the question.
Right. Right. I think you look at the situation, I think you can do both. You draft Andrew Luck, you sit him for a year, you pay Peyton Manning, hopefully or hopefully there's some type of restructure in there where Manning takes less money, and then you bring them both in. If Peyton Manning is the Peyton Manning of old, Andrew Luck sits and he waits until Peyton Manning is not the Peyton Manning of old, and that's it. I think
if Peyton Manning wants to do the right thing, I think he will restructure the team out, save them some money because he got $20 million and didn't do anything this year. So,
ultimately that is the right thing to do. That is the right thing to do. If you're not the guy and you feel like, I mean, you stole money this year. And granted, because of the career he had, technically, I mean, he really didn't steal it. In some way, he earned it on some level. But the thing about it is, it's you're right. You're right.
It's just like Terry Collins earned it for me and they gave you
a run. I mean, you earned it. I mean, judging by your resume, Peyton Manning has earned this type of money. He is the Colt. He is the franchise. He's the franchise. He is the face of the franchise. And Andrew Luck can be that guy. He can be the face of a franchise. But he may not be. You never know. I mean, it's not always cut and dry with a rookie quarterback or with a quarterback in general. I mean, it's a lot easier to play well on a collegiate level than it is in the NFL. I mean, everybody's saying he's can't miss, but you never know. There are a lot of can't miss that didn't make it. And what? Ryan Leaf, he was can't miss on some level, and he didn't make it.
Ryan Leaf was a head case, and he wasn't a pro the whole time. I don't think Andrew Luck went to Stanford. He's a class guy. He played 4 years. I think he's going to be a productive NFL player. So I'm not going to compare him to anything like Ryan Leaf.
Okay, let's just say hypothetically, Peyton Manning, the neck is fine. He is older at this point, 36 years old, 35 years old, but he will be 36 when next season starts. How many years does Peyton Manning have left? How many years?
Two, maybe three at the most.
Okay. And I guess if you look at this on paper, a 36-year-old quarterback, you would think theoretically that you would have to almost move on from here. There's always comes that time where you have to get rid of a player. It's just the reality of the situation. It's the nature of the business. If you look at it on paper, I would say this is probably the time to move on from Peyton Manning. On paper.
But they don't want him to leave that franchise because he's meant so much to that organization. And like you said, he's the face of the franchise. And it's not like he's Joe Montana in the 49ers where they have a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. Do the Colts even have, or Indianapolis Colts, I mean, how many Hall of Famers do they have? So we all know Peyton is one of the top 20, 30 players to play this game ever. So, you know, you want him to go in as a Hall, which he will anyway, but you want him to retire in that uniform. So I think it comes down to a situation. In Indy, you know, he will be their first Hall of Famer. And, you know, Rich Wayne's been good. I don't know if Reggie gets in the Hall of Fame. But other than Peyton, off these real good teams for the last few years, maybe Freeney. You know, I don't know how many Pro Bowls Freeney's been to.
Well,
Marvin Harrison will be a Hall of Famer. Exactly, Marvin. I think Marvin and Peyton are locks. You know, in the Hall, both of those two guys, and maybe Freeney. But those two guys are your Hall of Famers. But you know, you would like to see Peyton end up in that uniform. And if Peyton comes back next year and he's not as good and doesn't play well, I think Peyton walks away himself. I don't think Peyton is going to hang around if he's not, you know, productive and ready to play.
Right.
They're not playing at the level he played at. Because nobody wants to end their career like that when they've been as good as him. And nobody can sit on the sideline and just watch games. You can't do that when you don't miss games. It kills you to sit there and when you miss a couple games because you're used to being on the field all the time helping your teammate. So, you know, he's not going to want to play a backup role to Andrew Luck. You know, he's not going to finish his career. Whatever, let's play the devil's advocate. What if he gets out there next year and is not playing good and then he's backing up Andrew Luck? Look at Donovan McNabb. You know, I mean, Donovan McNabb, you know, the last 2 years, he's a Hall of Fame caliber player. Now, when will he get in the Hall? Because I don't think Peyton Manning is Donovan McNabb. I think he's done more than Donovan McNabb, you know, as far as winning the Super Bowl and for the length of his career. But what if Peyton Manning is not going to want to take a back seat to anybody? So that's going to be an ugly situation if it does pan out. So the organization has some tough questions right there to figure out.
Bottom line is, Willie, will Peyton Manning be a Colt next year?
I think he will be a Colt next year. I don't know if they'll make him restructure what happened, but I think he will be a Colt next year. I don't think they'll let him go to nothing. They're not going to trade him to nobody else next year. I think they figure something out, and I think he is a Colt next year.
And Andrew Luck gets drafted by the Colts as well?
Yes.
Okay. I think I agree with you. I mean, I think this is on paper, this is the perfect time to move on from him. I just don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll do it at this point. I think Peyton Manning is a Colt next year. But I do think I agree with you. I do think there is some sort of restructuring there where You know, he doesn't get all that money. I mean, because like you said, he essentially played this year. He stole money this year. And so I agree with you. I think if you're the Colts, you keep Peyton Manning and also think you draft Andrew Luck.
They didn't even let Donovan get the rest of his little money this year, did they? I mean, yeah, they did let him. They put him out of the league and they didn't bring him back for them for what he was making.
I think that to me is just, I mean, I'm kind of speechless by it, but I look at it and you look at the Bears situation. I mean, Caleb Haney stunk up the joint. He threw a lot of interceptions. And with the Bears, I mean, with that defense, all you had to do was be Tebow-like in some respects, protect the football, and you know, have a drive here.
I don't think he would have took off running as much as Tebow, but I think he could have dinked and dumped it and not turned the ball over. I mean, looking back on it, Chicago should have picked him up, because if they do, I think they have a chance to win and make the playoffs. I think the fact that they did pick him up really hurt them.
I agree. I mean, Caleb Haney, the one thing that hurt the Bears, granted, losing Forte hurt them, but also their quarterback position. They were in those games. If they would have just got some better quarterback play, they would have won. If they would have got some better quarterback play, and Caleb Haney just stunk the joint up for them. I mean, he threw interceptions. And at the wrong time, I know his first start against the Raiders, he had three picks. And, you know, I mean, and they were in that game. They had an opportunity in that game, but he threw the game away. He threw the game away. And somebody has to take the blame for this, whether it's Lovie Smith and whether it's the GM, Angelo. I mean, who takes the blame here? But I look at it, I mean, Caleb Haney, 3 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That's bad. That's bad. And you're talking, what, 5 starts? That's not good. That's
period.
Not good at
you
all.
You got to pick up another quarterback. You could have picked Donovan up for basically the minimum. And they
right.
still didn't do it. Kyle Allen gets picked up in Kansas City, who's not going anywhere. And they owe him, what, $4 or $5 million or whatever they plan to pay him. And they can't pick up Donovan right now for the little amount of money he was making? Doesn't make any sense. He cleared waivers. They could have gave him the minimum he would have came and played.
Right. Right. And I know, well, actually, the Vikings are still paying him. And his contract, like you said, was manageable. It wasn't nothing big. It was not
he
big
cleared
time
waivers. After he clears waivers, he's still going to get paid by the Viking. He gets 2 checks, and he gets paid by Chicago the minimum. So the Chicago would have been paying him hardly nothing to play, like whatever the veteran minimum is for $800,000, then he still would have got paid by Minnesota.
I mean, I agree. I mean, maybe, but you have to look at this. Chicago saw Donovan up close and personal. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but that was the team, and that was Donovan's last start against the Chicago Bears, and he was taken out in that game. Maybe they said, you know what, this guy doesn't have any good football left in him, and it's kind of hard not to agree with them, and in terms of that, because I truly don't know how much football Donovan McNabb has left. I mean,
Donovan's done. I don't think Donovan gets picked up. I think he has to. He's done. Like basically, what happened to T.O. This year. I think he's done. I think Donovan and I know Haynesworth is done after this year. And I think ultimately Ocho Cinco is let go. And I don't think I see him playing anymore after this
right.
year.
Well, you look at Donovan, and I mean, he's never really had any serious issues throughout his career in terms of being a cancer in the locker room, but there has been talk about his work ethic in Washington, and there has been some talk about his work ethic in Minnesota. So maybe the guy's developing a reputation of not working hard, and it's kind of odd because throughout his career you always heard about him working hard, him studying a lot, and then you had the situation when Michael Vick came in, and Michael Vick said he learned a lot from Donovan McNabb. You don't know if that's just talk, guys, you know, looking out for each other, or whether it's legitimate. But, I mean, the guy has never had the reputation.
He's doing the politically correct thing. But you also had T.O. calling Donovan McNabb out in the Super Bowl and saying he wasn't in shape for him during the game. So, you know, obviously Michael Vick is going to come in under the situation he in and say bad mouth Donovan McNabb or say anything against him. But he did have players question him and some big games, some huge games, when
right.
they should have been questioning them, and then they got questioned for the last 2 years at both stints. So I think it's kind of demoralizing that I thought Donovan McNabb was working hard this offseason to have a good year this year, and I would have liked him, we talked about this earlier, to go out on a good note, throw for maybe close around 3,000 yards and end it on a good note. But, Donovan's been a class act, and hopefully we see him commentating on one of the networks next year. I think he'll be great at that.
So you're basically saying it's over for Donovan McNabb is what you're telling us right now?
Yes.
You don't think he
exists? He don't get picked up at the waivers for 32 teams? Yeah, it's over.
You don't think he accepts a backup role anywhere?
No. I don't think anybody brings him back as a backup.
Okay. I mean,
is he going to come back and play for the minimum? Yeah, he's going to come back and be like, play for $800,000 and be a backup? Donovan McNabb, he's been a star his whole career. I don't think he comes back and plays for the backup.
Well, I think he's going to have to take the Kurt Warner route, and Kurt Warner went to Arizona as a backup. Ultimately, he became a starter, but he's going to have to take that route. And
I don't think Donovan can do what Kurt Warner did at this point. I don't think he's that quarterback. I don't think he can. It's just where he went to Arizona and got in the right system. Kurt Warner still had a strong arm. He still was an accurate quarterback. Donovan McNabb's arm he's throwing the ball in the dirt. He's not accurate. He hadn't been playing well. Kurt Warner wasn't playing well, but some of that was the fact that he was losing the grip of the ball and was having some hand issues. And he went to Arizona and got that under control. I don't think Donovan McNabb gets the opportunity to do the Kurt Warner rap.
So you don't think any team will be calling? I don't necessarily agree. I don't disagree with you because I don't see how, judging by what we have seen these past 2 years, I don't see how, unless you're bringing him in as a backup, I don't see how you bring him in. He's not a starter. At least he hasn't shown us that he's a starter these past 2 years. So I don't think you can bring him in any type of situation. I don't think you can, and I'd be shocked. I mean, I'm looking at these rosters, and I can't see a team that would pick him up. I mean, the two teams that he went to those last 2 years were the two teams that you thought would pick him up those past 2 years.
And they both let him go.
Right, and they both let him go. So now you look at it now, I mean, I don't see a situation where Donovan would go to unless he goes in as a backup and decides he wants to mentor someone. But I don't know if I necessarily see him as that type of guy. I don't necessarily see him as that type of guy or see him doing that unless he really wants to play bad. Unless he really, really wants to play, then, I mean, the only way he plays is if he goes to a team as a backup, that's the only way he'll play.
Well, let's look at this. Donovan McNabb has made a lot of money playing football.
Sure.
Right? He shouldn't have to come back and play for $800,000. What is that? $450,000 out of Texas. And he's played 14 years in this league, probably made at least $80 million. Well, I don't know what he's made.
Well, he had the $100 million contract.
I don't think he wants to play that bad to come back and sit behind somebody with the money he's made, the career he's made, been the four NFC Championship games, been to the Super Bowl. He's going to go play for some mediocre team and be a backup. Because, unless he would go into a team in a situation where they had a chance to make a run and was going to be a backup there, that would be the only situation I would see him be coming back being a backup. Other than that, it's time for him to retire.
Right. I mean, ultimately, I would agree with you. It is time for him to retire at this stage of the game unless he wants to be a backup. And like we said during this conversation, I don't see it happening. I don't see him going to a situation as the backup. I don't see that happening. And so it looks like it's over for Donovan, but some people out there believe he still has some football left in him. I don't think he does. I really don't. But it seems like he still has his arm strength, still has his athleticism on some level, still has his speed. But he's still not the same player, obviously, that he was throughout the course of his career. And you look at it now, after he left Philadelphia, you said to yourself, you know what, this guy is a possible Hall of Famer. He's a possible Hall of Famer. Now, like you said, I don't think he is. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm saying it's not going to be in the first couple years. No.
I don't think he gets in. I don't think he gets in.
Well, if he like you said, there's a lot of politics involved in that, so.
Right.
If enough people get behind him and try to push him, then maybe he gets in. But like you said, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think if he had went to one of those teams like Kurt Warner did and took him to the Super Bowl, I think when Kurt Warner, he won the Super Bowl early, when he took the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl, that solidified him as probably a first down Hall of Famer. So the fact that he did come back and do that for another team, anytime you leave one team and you go and play high another level, at another team, and the level he played at for that time period, then, you know, you're taking them to the playoffs and as good as they were, and everybody knows Kurt Warner had a lot to do with it, then that made him possibly a first ballot Hall of Famer. The fact that Kurt Warner did leave the team and didn't have any success in the two stops he made does hurt him in the Hall of Fame voters' eyes.
And I look at Kurt Warner and I look at Donovan and I say to myself, if you want to look at the full body of work, Kurt Warner does have the Super Bowl. Whose career would you rather have? Who's had a better career in terms of longevity, in terms of winning?
I like Donovan's, what Donovan did, but the magical run Kurt Warner had in 99, and they did go back to the Super Bowl. We knocked them out of the playoffs in 2000. We won the first playoff game. In 2001, he went back to the Super Bowl and got beat by Tom Brady's first Super Bowl won in 2001. And then after that, he did roam around some. But to go to Arizona, who was a non-existent, was the laughing stock of the NFL, basically, when he got there, and to take that team to the playoffs and take them to a Super Bowl, and they almost won the Super Bowl. They should have won the Super Bowl. And Pittsburgh just made some unbelievable plays to win that game. I would take Kurt Warner's career.
Well, you look at Kurt Warner. I mean, he had that 3-year run there in St. Louis, where he had the first year 41 touchdowns, the second year the 41 touchdown year, and then the next year he was 21 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, and the year after that he was back to those high numbers, 36 touchdowns, 22 picks. But you look at it, I mean, he had that nice 3-year run, but I agree, it's that second run in Arizona that puts him over the top. If he doesn't have that second run in Arizona, he doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
And he was the key in Arizona. If Kurt Warner is not quarterbacking, like we've been talking about these other quarterbacks, Arizona does not make those runs.
I agree. I totally agree there. I mean, he played
and
some good football.
I'm right. Like, if you mean, I got to take the Super Bowl ring. So as good as Donovan there was, I take the ring. I take Kurt Warner's rather man. I take the ring.
Five NFC title games. Not good enough for you.
We're good enough for it, but I take the ring.
And real quickly now, Willie, Christmas just passed. Did you get any nice gifts, any presents?
You know what? I got some UGG slippers, and I got a remote control car, but I still don't know how to hook it up because I got to hook it up to my Joy phone to work the daggone thing. And I got, you obviously get the big and tall sweaters.
And those UGGs, I mean, is that something you should be saying out in public?
Well, they're slippers now. I'm not wearing them out. I'm wearing them around the house.
And any big New Year's plans?
No, man. You know, I've been spending money with the kids, and I think I'm just going to relax in California. I'm going to go. New Edition is in concert out here at San Manuel tomorrow night. And we got the Clippers home open against the Chicago Bulls. I think I'm going to go check that out Friday.
Okay, okay. I mean, new additions always a good time. I mean, a lot of big time hits there. So sounds like you got a nice little weekend lined up for you. Willie, as always, it was a pleasure talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the other good stuff.
Same to you, and I want to wish the people out there, make sure they have a safe New Year and don't be doing all that drinking and driving, and everybody stay healthy.
I'll second that.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. We're in a good show.
The great Willie Rowe, 11-time Pro Bowler. Went a little longer with Willie than we usually do, but we got into a good discussion there. Definitely got in a great discussion there. And so, I mean, very interesting. I mean, a lot of great points there with Peyton Manning. I think you have to bring Peyton Manning back. I mean, it's you have to do it. You have to do it, but ultimately you do have to draft Andrew Luck. But at the same time, this is the perfect opportunity to move on from Peyton Manning. He'll be 36 years old next year in 2012. And how many 36-year-old quarterbacks do you know can still perform at a high level? And how many 36-year-old quarterbacks do you know can perform at a high level after coming off three neck surgeries in the past 2 years? So you have to look at all that. The odds are against Peyton Manning. The odds are against Peyton Manning's success. They're against it. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but the odds are definitely against Peyton Manning. The odds are against him, but he is Peyton Manning. He is still one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. And so it's kind of hard to argue against Peyton Manning. But we shall see. We shall see. The NBA is back, everybody, in full swing. NBA basketball is truly, truly, truly fantastic. I love NBA basketball. It is back and in full swing. And you're looking at basketball, looking at the NBA this first week, I should say. Well, the week is not out. But it's been some good games going on there. And it's been some interesting games. You have the Lakers who struggled a little bit these first two games, lost their first two games, but got back on a winning track yesterday, against the Utah Jazz, a team that's not going to be very good this year. They're going to struggle mightily this year. And then you have the Boston Celtics, who are 0-2 right now. No Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce is the best player on the Celtics team, so they miss him. They miss him a lot, actually. But you look at it, and they're getting blown out right now by the New Orleans Hornets, 96-78 there. Game is about to be a final, but they're getting blown out by the Hornets, so they'll fall to 0-3. And in a shortened season, that's not good. In a shortened season, that's not a good situation. I mean, the season is 66 games. I mean, it's 16 games less than the normal 82-game season. So that's, you know, you don't want to get off to a bad start here. You do not want to get off to a bad start. You still have time. It's not like a 50-game season. It's a 66-game, so you still have an opportunity. But once Paul Pierce comes back, I think this team will get right back on track. But they're not the same team. They're just not the same team that they were during their run. They're not the same team. They are not. But they're going to fall to 0-3. And how about the Miami Heat? First of all, yesterday you had Norris Cole, 14 points in the fourth quarter, 20 points in all, and the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics. But the Miami Heat are 3-0 right now. LeBron James, 35 points tonight against the Charlotte Bobcats. And you look at LeBron James, a big 37-point explosion against the Dallas Mavericks on Christmas Day, and then he comes back here, 35 points. He had 26 points yesterday against the Boston Celtics. The Miami Heat are the most talented team in basketball. They are the most talented team. There is not a team in the NBA that is more talented than the Miami Heat. They're not. There is not. This is a very talented roster. James, Wade, and Bosch. This is a very talented basketball team. There is not a team more talented than the Miami Heat. Not a team at all. Bottom line, this is the most talented team in basketball. No injuries. There's no way. I don't see this team not getting to the NBA Finals, and I can't see this team not winning in the NBA Finals. Let's bring in now actress Twink Kaplan. Twink, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Even better. Even better. And first off, how are your holidays? Happy holidays to you.
Oh, thank you. They were pretty good. You know, being born on Christmas Day is kind of weird. You know, you kind of get, well, it's good. The older I get, the better I like it.
But I guess as a child, you know, you don't get that separate birthday and Christmas type of thing.
Well, you know, I was Jewish, so I got Hanukkah, but we lived in a duplex next to a Catholic family, and they had a tree and so many presents, and, you know, I'd open up like an umbrella and should have all these, like, dolls and cutouts, and you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, when I grew up, I could kind of decorate myself. I loved it, you know, and, you know, I've got, like, three animals, so they, you know, all my friends do a special thing, and it's kind of cool. But as you get older, you really don't want anybody giving it too much focus on your birthday.
Right.
I don't anyway.
And Twink, I was watching the trailer to Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie.
Uh-huh.
It looks funny, very funny. How much fun was it filming it?
You know something? I mean, this is so great for me because this has to be the crudest movie I have ever done. And I love these guys. I did one of their shows on TV, Tim and Eric. They had an awesome show. And they had called me to come in and do one of the shows. And then a year later, I did the movie. But they are really, truly, honestly hilarious. They're really funny. They do things that you cannot believe somebody would actually do. I mean,
give us an example.
Seriously. Oh, my God, I don't want to ruin anything. But it's sort of like the thing that, you know, you would, like, die before you would do it. They'll just do it. I mean, Tim is crazy. And I even did things that I wouldn't do. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, when you're an actor, you go in and you think, okay, I'm going to do this. But here are the parameters. Here's the rules. This is what I'm going to wear, and I want to make sure this doesn't fall out, and this is what I'm going to do. But once you enter that, like, private, in-the-moment place, it's sort of like you're not really thinking about, well, what if? You just, like, dive in, and you're there, and whatever happens, you don't remember anything. Oh, Scott, it's like, you know, acting's almost like, you know, drinking a lot and then blacking out. Because you don't remember anything. You know, the next day, I remember they said, for this one particular scene, they said, you know, are you okay with everything? And I said, oh, God, it's just this one thing, you know. And then in the trailer, I looked really close, and I noticed something, and I thought, oh, God. But you know something? What a way to go out, you know. I mean, I just love it because I sent actually the trailer to a lot of family that were like much older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, well, this is a strange movie, you know, because they're like kind of more uptight. Oh, God. But it's kind of fun watching people cringe, you know?
Right. And you're a comedian, so you're used to that.
Well, you know, I've had this thing with my sister forever that, you know, when she goes to my movies, most of the time I have to, like, pay them back for the ticket. But I don't think I'll have to do that this time. It was a standing joke since I was a kid, you know, in New York, like, acting, they go and see the movie, and then, you know, my brother-in-law would make a big thing about, you know, I want my $7, you know. But I think there are so many parts of this. And there, you know, like there's movies like, I mean, I don't want to mention, you know, like there's a holiday movie out where there's like 69 stars or something. And usually, you know, it doesn't play so good. But the people in this film are, I mean, Tim and Eric are absolutely an incredible, funny duo. They're like outrageous. And I think they're just about to burst onto, I think they have a huge fan base, but I think this movie is going to really make them, like, you know, wide. And Will Ferrell is, you know, he's one of the producers, and he's also in it, and he's so funny. Oh, my God, John C. Reilly is insane. And he was doing a movie in Europe at the same time.
Okay.
You know, but he's just remarkably talented. He can do serious and comedy. And Zach, and, you know, you don't want me to pronounce his last name. Galifianakis. I know that's so ignorant, but, I mean, Robert Loggia. I mean, you know, these people, they're just enormously talented. And I've worked with Ray Weiss before. And it's just, I'm really so thrilled to be a part of it, because it's kind of like this fraternity of all the funny guys, and here I got to be in it too. You know what I mean?
And you being the funny girl.
Well, I think I'm a straight man, even though I think some of the things will be funny that I did.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But. It's sort of like, I'm honored. I really am. I actually just saw Tim. I went to see, you know, that movie Young Adult with Charlize Theron. Oh, it was so wonderful. But it was a small screening at Paramount, and it was great. And I saw him there. It was just a coincidence. But if I can work with them again, I would love it. They have a million trailers out there. And it's really nuts.
So it sounds like you've definitely had a lot of fun on this set. And you play Katie in this movie.
Right.
Tell us about your character.
Well, Katie works at the mall. And I don't think she gets out much. You know, she doesn't, like, really date or, you know. And one of the guys takes a liking to her.
Okay.
And I don't think this is in the movie, so I can tell you about it. It's like I had to learn, like, really quick, you know those the things you – it's like a machine where you put a balloon on top of it. And time is of the essence, you know. But you put the bottom of the balloon in the machine, and the air comes out, the helium.
Okay.
And then all I had to do was, like, knot it. But it blew up, and I screamed. And we just kept doing it over and over because I didn't know when to shut the damn machine off, you know what I mean? But, you know, you're on a time thing, you know, and with these guys, it's like, you know, you go there to do one thing and all your lines can be changed in a second, and you got to be on it.
Right.
You know, you just have to be on it and pick up what they want you to do. But I love them. Are you familiar with Tim and Eric?
Somewhat.
Okay. I mean, they do have their own fan base, but like I said, I think this is going to, you know, they're like, I don't even know what comics, there's a duo of what comics now, you know, that work as partners off each other. But they both really, they're like Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, but not like them, you know what I mean?
Well, a little cruder.
I mean, when I think of Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, I think of like, you know, Charlie Sheen and what's his name? You know, on the 2.5 Men.
Okay.
You know, the setup of those two guys is sort of like, you know, Dean and Jerry, or, you know, Klugman and what's his name? You know, they were messy or something like that. These two guys are so, like, nuts, and they dress like women, and they have all kinds of, like, outfits and disguises, and they ad-lib. You know, like, one, two, they just, they're on it. One, two, three. Wow, you got to really keep up with them, you know?
And what was that fun for you?
Oh, yeah. It was a really different experience. It's sort of like, you know, most of the movies that I've done, like Clueless, Look Who's Talking, stuff like that, I was a producer as well as acting. And I know a lot of people are doing that now, but when I did it, there weren't a whole lot of people that were producing and acting.
Okay.
You know? And it's sort of, it's difficult when you're sitting with a bunch of people, you know, with a little, the cam, and you're not a part of it because you're not producing it. So it was kind of an adjustment for me to, like, shut up and stand back, you know, because, and it's kind of humbling, you know?
Right.
But I loved every minute. You know, and I had worked with Will Ferrell before in Roxbury.
Okay.
And I really like him. He's a great guy, just a great guy. And Ray Weiss, huh?
And you could just tell by looking at the trailer and everything that it's just a lot of fun going on here, just a lot of fun.
It was, and both of them, you know, both Eric and Tim were both directing.
Wow.
You know, and so, and I remember once they each gave me a note that was completely opposite. And I remember thinking, wow, this is, like, really strange. And, like, I didn't want to say anything, so I just thought I'll do one take one way and one take another way. But
okay.
They're just on it. They're so, like, improving as we do everything, you know?
And right.
It's like
being a comedian yourself, that would be a lot of fun, correct? I mean, being a comedian yourself, that would be a lot of fun.
Oh, God. Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it really is. It's just, it's so exciting, you know, and it's exciting to work with, like, new, young people. You know, I did a movie before this, and it was all young people except for me, and I was married to Harry Dean Stanton. And Harry, you know Harry Dean.
Right.
Harry Dean, he's like a really long, old friend of mine. In fact, one of my dogs is named Harry Dean.
Okay.
But it is fun working with, you know, like a lot of Saturday Night Live people, Will Forte, and it's refreshing. You know, you can try anything, and they're right there for you. I love it, and I don't know, the food was pretty good, too.
and that's important. That's very important.
Actually, it really is, you know. But this is exciting. They're going to open, I think, the first night at Sundance, which is really great.
Okay.
You know. And then we're out, I think, in March. I'm not sure. You know, I don't have the...
It is March of 2012.
Yeah?
March 3rd, actually.
They might be on pay-per-view a little in January, but I'm not really sure, you know?
Okay.
But I really look forward to it. I think I'm going to have a friend, you know, or maybe I'll disguise myself and go into a theater and you know, when all the guys are there and say, did I do anything that embarrassed myself, you know?
So what kind of disguise would you have?
You'll know.
You won't tell us the disguise?
No, I mean, you'll when you see the movie, you'll know why I was a little nervous. You know? Oh, God.
Have no shame. Have no shame. Have fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the truth is you have to just dive in, you know? But you really do get into that area where you're so into it, into that moment that you're that character. And you don't know if you went over the top. I mean, not in acting, but maybe what you shouldn't have done. My God, you know, I mean, this isn't like Meryl Streep or something, who I love.
But as a comedian, do you struggle with that balance that you're talking about there?
Nah, I really don't. I mean, I go there and I don't care. I don't care how I look. I just don't want to look, like, heavy, but, you know, I mean, I don't care. I don't. I just want to be good. I just want people to like me and believe me and just be real in the character. Because, I mean, if you're not in the moment and you're not real, then get a reality show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like you have to just go for it. And then if you embarrass yourself, you really don't, though. I mean, I don't know if I do. My face is all red. I think it's going to be sensational. You know, it's just funny how things come around, you know. Because I remember when Jeff Goldblum had a class, and I was taking a class from him. And now I'm in a movie with him. So it's just everything comes around. It's funny. And last time I worked with Ray Weiss, a spider fell in my face. You know, a giant tarantula.
Wow.
Yeah, I get all the good parts.
You didn't run?
Oh, yeah, and then I did a horror movie where I swallowed my tongue last year. So, I mean, this was a nice change, you know. Aww.
We're talking to actress Twink Kaplan, and Twink's going to be in Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie. It's going to debut in 2012, so make sure you look out for that. It's going to be a funny movie. And Twink, many people don't know this about you, but you were the first female radio host in the state of Pennsylvania. Talk about that.
Yeah, that is. That's really true. I, you know, it was like women's lib time, and I started working for this radio station, and it was drive time, and they needed somebody immediately, and I actually was working as, I think I was the publicity director, and Roger Willoughby Ray, the general manager, said, Twink, you're on tomorrow at 6 a.m., and I thought, oh, my God, because I knew nothing. I had never taken a class. I knew nothing. In fact, I had to go to the bathroom, and I was, like, alone. I said to the audience, I'll be right back. I have to go to the bathroom. And I ran and went to the bathroom, and I came back on air, and I got in a lot of trouble with the account executives because they said there was dead air time, and, you know, but it was, like, interesting. And I met so many people. I interviewed Gloria Swanson,
okay,
Henry Kissinger, Hynek with the Flying Saucers. I interviewed people. This is like so many years ago. I interviewed people who when you had cancer, they had the first like implant that you could put in a woman, you know, for cancer. I mean, so many things that were so like incredible, you know. Glorious.
That
Swanson,
is incredible.
Shirley MacLaine. But it was really exciting, you know, and it was the first woman on radio in Pennsylvania, 50,000-watt radio station. And then I just got my own show, you know, the Twink Kaplan show.
And
then I met Kinky Friedman. I interviewed Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys. I don't know if you know him. He ran for governor of Texas recently. He came on the show, and it kind of changed my life because I ended up leaving and going to California. Well, I went on the Rolling Thunder Review, you know, with Bob Dylan and him.
Wow.
And it led me to California, and then I got here.
And Twink, full disclosure, I got to go to bear from here, so there may be some dead air.
Oh, that's funny. I'll keep talking. I know, isn't that stupid? I mean, you know, life is a funny thing, you know.
That it is. That it is. You work with some funny people, and you work with Imus.
How was
that?
Well, yeah, that's, how do you know all this? I was co-hosting with Don Imus in the morning. He was in New York, and this was before Howard Stern. This is, you know, when he was, like, huge. And my sister lived in New Jersey, and she heard me on the radio. I didn't even know that I was, you know, I hadn't told anybody. And everybody was so excited, you know, Don Imus. And, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, Kinky right now is writing a book with Billy Bob Thornton and another one with Willie Nelson. So it's sort of like it just all comes around.
Wow.
You know? I still like friends with Kinky. I'm still friends with, like, I guess I'm friends with my very first boyfriend that I ever had.
Yeah.
I haven't
Wow.
lost contact with anybody. Isn't that weird?
How's that work? Your first ever boyfriend, how's that work?
Well, he calls on Saturday, and we talk. Isn't that funny? It is kind of strange, isn't it?
A little bit. Is he married?
No. Oh, God, okay. No. If they were married, I wouldn't talk to them.
Okay.
I mean, you know, ew, that's creepy. You know what I mean? That's creepy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want
my
man talking to anybody.
No, I wouldn't want my woman talking to anybody on a Saturday either.
Hell no.
We
started doing that, you know, you just see how somebody's doing and you get to know them again and they remember stuff about you that you forget. You know, they knew your parents, you know.
What time on Saturday do you guys talk?
Oh, well, he's in Pennsylvania, so it's like a 3-hour difference. But he'll call like during the day. He'll call, you know, me during the day. And then we'll just connect about the week. We've been doing this, you know, for a while, intermittently.
Right.
You know, because I was living with somebody for years and we didn't. And then we just picked up doing it. No, you know, because when you live with somebody, I mean, I'm a one-man woman.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You're a lady. You're a lady.
You got to be. You're getting a lot of trouble.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah,
and
this is a real big change from, you know, like, I'm known for, like, Rona and Miss Geist, and this is a really nice, change.
Right. And change is good. Change is good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great. It's just great, you know. I think all the kids that knew me as Miss Geist, I see them all the time. They're so cute, and they've grown up. So,
right.
I mean, even when I was at a party and Paris Hilton got all excited because, you know, she grew up with Clueless.
Right.
And she's got beautiful skin. She was cute. She was really cute. She said, "You're hot," or something like that. And it was cute, you know. They're all cute. They're all good. You know, they're popular, then they don't get popular. But the truth is, they're all good kids, you know.
And that's, well, we'll see.
No, I mean, you know, we make them what they are, you know.
That's
what I mean?
True. That's true. That's
we
true.
We build them up, we tear them down, you know. But
and Twink, anything else going on? You got Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie. Any other things in the works for you?
Well, no, I'm writing something with a friend of mine.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens with that, you know. Other than that, I'm trying to talk Method Man into doing a sex tape with me.
Okay, wow. Wow. That'd be interesting.
I'm just kidding. Just to get popular. But I love him. He's such a doll. You know, my best friend manages him. And he is just a doll. I love him.
Wow.
He's a great guy.
So maybe you could talk to your best friend and we can get Method Man on the air.
I will do that. I will absolutely do that.
And, Twink, where can we find information about you? Where can the fans connect with you? Where can we find the latest news about Twink Kaplan?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, beside IMDb, I mean, I have Facebook, but I temporarily stopped. You know, I temporarily did that thing that you get off of it for a minute.
Right.
But I'll get back on. I'll get myself back on tonight, you know.
And you also need to get on Twitter as well.
I know. I get so scared of Twitter, though. It's like I'm such an impulsive person. What if, you know, what if I tweeted a joke and, you know, I have this dark humor and what if everybody took what I said seriously? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I will get on Twitter because, you know, I guess you got to get into the 21st century, right?
Definitely, definitely. It's a lot of fun, the 21st century. A lot of fun.
Yeah, you're right. I should do that. I really should. I just know some of my friends were on there, some well-known actors, and they were
right.
always, like, fighting with people, and I thought, ooh, that scares me, you know? I mean,
It was a pleasure talking to you. A lot of fun. You're a lot of fun.
Aw, thank
everybody,
you.
please check out Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie. It will be airing in 2012, so make sure you check it out. Twink, always a pleasure. Let's do this again.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck to you.
Aw, thank you, doll.
Take care.
You too. Good night, honey.
Twink Kaplan, was a pleasure talking to her. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgant, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. For everybody here at Go For It, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Take care. See you later. Bye.